Now on Sky Sports Radio, it's time to chinwag with Cozzy.
And 22 to 11, going to chinwag this morning with Rachel King, who's having a terrific run at the moment. Morning, Rachel, how are you?
Morning, Cozzy, I'm very good, thank you.
That's good. Now, the other night, you had a terrific night out at Canterbury. Your first city ride here in Australia, you get the money, and then you come out and show off and win another one. You get a double.
It was great. You know, couldn't have worked out any better. I was lucky to be able to ride two nice horses, and they both came out and won for me.
Now, there was something that puzzled people a little. You only claimed 2 kilos, and people said, hang on a minute, you've just ridden your first city winner and only allowed to claim two, but it actually goes back to your days in England. You'd ridden winners there that obviously prevented you having a full claim here.
Yeah, that's right. And unfortunately, they've got the rules written here so that every overseas winner counts as a metropolitan winner. So obviously that takes any of those winners I had overseas come straight off of a metropolitan claim. So I had to start everywhere, you know, country, provincial and metro with 2 kilos when I came to Australia.
So it wouldn't have mattered where you rode them in England. It could have been some little ordinary place that still counted as a metro win.
Yeah, that's right. And even when I first had a chat with the stewards about it, you know, when I first came over, they sort of said it's probably not ideal because obviously there's no definition, you know, in England we don't have this sort of country, provincial and city racing, so it could be, you know, some of the races are probably only equivalent to picnic races, but they still count, unfortunately. Some were obviously slightly better, and that's okay, you don't mind them sort of counting, but the lesser races still counted as a metro win.
Now let's go back to England. Your family back there, were they involved in racing?
Yes, very much so. My dad used to ride the over jumps, or just as an amateur jump jockey back in England, and then sort of always had horses. Both sides of the family have always had horses. Dad's side were more so into the racing. My cousin used to ride over jumps as well as a jockey before stopping, that's what I started off doing, was actually the jumps racing. So that's sort of what we were always involved in, and Dad had just one or two horses every year, just for a bit of fun during the winter, just to train and have a bit of fun over the jumps with.
Rachel, you rode over the jumps here.
Yeah, that's actually my first ever ride was actually in Ireland, over jumps.
Now, when we say jumps, they don't mean little things over there. They are big boy jumps in England.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, no, it was mostly over all the, you know, the proper jumps, the big jumps, the big steeplechase jumps.
So. Steeplechase ones. It's good. You're mad.
I loved it.
I went to Aintree one day for the Grand National, and you walk the course. Now, I couldn't believe how big some of those jumps were.
Yeah, well, they're the extreme. They're sort of some of the biggest for them. My dad did actually have a horse that we bred. We've still got him now. He was actually the same age as me, and we bred him. And he ran around around the Grand National course, not in the Grand National, but in the amateur version of the Grand National. It's on like the same race. It's at the same carnival there, and it's over the same fences. And he actually ran around there. So I always remember. I think I was probably only 8 or 9, and I remember going and, you know, I had a day off school and went and walked the course and just having a look at those jumps when I was that age. It was amazing, you know, it's just unbelievable.
If you'd got on top of some of those, you would have got a bleeding nose from altitude. Yeah. They are that big.
They are pretty big. They're pretty specialised. You've got to have a, you know, pretty talented horse to go around there.
Now, just on those horses in England that your dad had, and were they, I mean, a lot of them you look at and you think, I don't know whether you're 100% thoroughbred, because some of them had feet on them like dinner plates and big coffin-headed things, but they just looked like they were bred to jump.
Yeah, exactly. Like they're getting probably a bit finer now. It was, you know, the old school horse, like jumps horses were, they're a lot bigger and, you know, a lot more bone on them and just a bit tougher, I guess. You know, some of them are racing over. The races I rode in were sort of 3 miles plus. And 18 jumps, you know, you've got to be pretty tough to get around there and on tracks that, you know, a heavy 10 would look like a good track over there, you know. they've got to be a special breed, definitely, to cope with it all. But you do get a few, you know, that you do get some that will start off their careers on the flat in England and then, you know, later on and switch to the jumps. So they can do a bit of both, but definitely the older school and sort of old style breed of thoroughbred is definitely a lot bigger, and the jumps horse over there is a bigger breed.
Rachel, how old were you when you started riding over the jumps?
I've got pictures of me schooling one of my dad's horses over the big jumps, and I was 9 years old.
Oh my God.
And she was only a maiden herself. But she was one of the best horses, and you know, I used to gallop her. I used to get up before school and gallop her, and you know, I just like it was great. You know, and that's why I kind of started over the jumps, because it was something I'd just always done. It was just came naturally. That was when I was that age, and when I first started racing, that was all I could see. You know, I had no interest in flat racing at all. It just didn't really appeal to me. You know, in a way, it was so easy to sort of, I shouldn't, because I've always been very small and very light, but I've always had in a disinvolvement with the jump horses, and I loved it when I was, you know, when I first started.
Rachel, there is a Dick Francis novel waiting on your life, I can tell it now. So, now, did you ever ride what they call the point-to-points? And a lot of people wouldn't be aware of what they are. It's basically where they go sometimes through paddocks and over fences and goodness knows what, or they just go from point to point. They have post markers in the ground. They don't have a running rail.
Yeah, no, that was my first ever race ride was in a point-to-point. And they have moved on slightly from that time.
Yeah,
we've got running rails in some of them, only some. Actually, the ones in England are pretty good. They're sort of normally just in one big field or two fields. But yeah, basically it's, you know, the amateur sort of version of it. But that's what Dad does. You know, he trains a couple of point-to-point horses. He's actually a steward at quite a few of the meetings as well, and does a bit of starting. And it's great, you know. I mean, actually, one of the meetings I did ride at in Ireland, there was no inside rail, no outside rail. There was just big straw bales that we raced around. So we did you had to aim at the straw bales and race around them. But and they're all over the jumps. You know, there'd be sort of 3 miles and 18 jumps. But it's a very good way to learn. You know, because you had to be pretty tough and kind of stick up for yourself. But it was fantastic. It was a good introduction to racing.
Well, they used to hold the point-to-points in Victoria, but insurance was the problem. They had to pull the pin on. And for those who wonder why they called that, originally they used to be where they'd race from one village to another. You could see the point of the steeple on top of the church. That's how they got the name, point-to-point.
Yeah.
So there you go. You start up. Now, when did you graduate to riding on the flat? That must have been a boring old day, that, when you rode something over 6 furlongs on the flat.
Yeah, no, it's. Oh, I think I probably spent nearly 2 full seasons just riding over jumps in England, and then we have sort of a lot. The amateur racing is a lot bigger in England, and that's sort of what I rode as. And we have a lot of ladies amateur flat races. Yeah. We have a big series during the whole summer, so they were quite popular. And I sort of started having a few rides in the summer, like when there was no jumps racing, and started sort of progressing onto the flat. And the first flat trainer I ever rode a bit of work for was Mick Shannon. I was there sort of similar times when actually Craig Williams was coming over. And I used to go and ride work for him when I was still at school, and I had my summer holidays from school. I used to go and ride a few, you know, spend a few mornings there, and it was great. And that probably got me into it a bit more, you know, because I got to ride some sort of probably better horses, and you get that feel of how good they can be, and that probably encouraged me a little bit more towards the flat. And then I started working for a trainer called Alan King, who he had a mixture of both jumps and flat, mainly jump horses. But in the summer, he started putting me on a few of his flat horses in the amateur races, and I guess that sort of started having a few winners for him. And that probably, you know, opened the door a bit more to me, and I started to realise actually that it was probably the better way forward.
Rachel, how does that system work in America? In England, does it work well where they have the winter is the jumping and the sun and the drier months the flat?
Yeah, definitely. Like they still have, to be honest, neither of them really stop all year round. They still do have some summer jumping, but it's very hard, you know, because obviously the jumps when the ground gets a lot firmer makes it a lot more difficult. It's a bit more dangerous. So they try and the majority, the main season is during the winter, and then with the flat racing, they have all weather racing in the winter, so they stop with the turf, and they just have the racing on the synthetic in the winter, which seems to work really well. There's certain horses that seem to like that better. So some will just race in the winter, and some obviously, you know, the bigger season is over the turf, but it keeps it going all year round. They'd struggle on the flat track, you know, to keep the racing on the turf all year round with it being so wet in the winter.
Now, it's interesting, I spoke to Lee Roach yesterday, an Irish jockey who's out here. He's riding for Chris Waller at the moment, and he's here sort of 3 months because it's the winter season over there now. Yes. So for a lot of the jocks in England, when this period arrives, do they head to Europe? Does Europe shut down, or do they still continue racing a lot on the flat there?
Oh, they do continue, but it's much lesser. A lot of them actually go to Dubai. There's a lot of the bigger boys from England would sort of head over. They'd have a bit of a break until Christmas, have Christmas off, and then January time probably head to Dubai, ready for the sort of World Cup in March. That's what a lot of them do. Or, you know, so then like what Lee's sort of done, some of them might come over here to try and get a bit more experience. And it's just, you know, it's good to learn different ways of doing things. So I find the younger jockeys especially, it's probably good for them to try and get over this way. You're going to learn a bit more. In Dubai, you're still working for the same English trainers and it's the same way of doing things. So it's not really that much different.
Now, Chin Wag with Rachel King. Rachel, did you get to ride at, say, Ascot, Epsom, those sort of tracks in England?
I've ridden at Ascot. I rode at Ascot on one of the biggest days there, King George Day. They have a big ladies race. It used to actually always be the diamond race. Used to win a big diamond necklace. It's now sponsored by Longines. I've had a couple of rides in that race. I didn't have a winner, but I had a couple of placings. I've ridden Epsom. They have their own Epsom ladies derby, so over the exact derby course for lady amateurs. And I rode in that a few times. And one of our other big tracks and one of our big ladies races was up at York on the Knavesmire there, and they had a big race where you actually win your weight in champagne if you win. And I did actually win that 1 year, which was pretty good. I won that for the late Pat Edery, you know, former champion jockey. He turned trainer, and I won it on a horse there for him. I remember he was only a three-year-old, and he'd won about three in a row before that. And they rang me. It would have been about a month before the race, which in England was sort of unheard of, to book someone that early for a race. And I thought, this is a bit strange, getting booked that early for a race. But when I heard it was for Pat Edery, of course, you know, I was like, yep, straight away. And but he was only, because he was a three-year-old, he had a lot less weight than everyone else. And I was probably one of the only amateurs that was actually light enough to ride him. But he went on and, yeah, he won easily. I think he won by three or four lengths, you know, and it was a great day out.
You must have ridden with and against some great riders over there. I mean, when you'd walk out of the jockey's room and be talking, there'd be every man and his dog would be there.
Yeah, definitely, especially because we don't have the system of the country and provincial and metropolitan racing. You know, all the jockeys do go everywhere. But it's good in that way because you get to ride against some of the best, and you get to learn from some of the best. And it's hard because it's got, you know, lots of different competition. You're competing against sort of the top 10 jockeys every time to get rides, but it's very good to learn. It's great, you know, I rode against some of the best jump jockeys and some of the best flat jockeys, so it was a good experience.
So you decided to come to Australia for a holiday? Was that how you got here?
Yeah, that was it. I was coming for 2 months, and just pretty much the same as probably, you know, about what Lee's doing. Came for a couple of months during the winter. I was meant to be going back to start an apprenticeship back in England, and I sort of came and, you know, started having a look at the racing and just having a look at the girls riding here, and just realised there was just so many more opportunities here. I'd already previously had a go at being an apprentice back in England. I was sort of amateur for most of the time, but I spent 6 months as an apprentice, and to be honest, I couldn't make a go of it at all. I really struggled. I think I had one winner in 6 months. I couldn't hardly get any rides, you know, and obviously I was light, so I could do any weight, but I just couldn't get anywhere. So I sort of stopped for a bit, did a few other things in between, and then I thought, right, I'll give it one last go, and, you know, really try and sort of put everything into it and see what I can do. And then, yeah, I came over here just to try and give myself that little sort of go ahead, I suppose, and just be that one step ahead of everyone when I went back, just so I had that bit more experience. But once I realised kind of what it was like here and what opportunities there were, I thought, well, actually, I'm going to be much better off. If I'm going to give it one more go, I'd be better off to do it here.
Well, it's worked out terrific, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. It has. It's, you know, I couldn't have ever imagined it working this well. Like, it was always going to be hard, and I came over on my own, but it's definitely worked out better than I could have ever imagined.
So coming over, I suppose, what was the first thing you did? Did you go to the stewards and say, listen, you know, Racing New South Wales, I want to be apprenticed here. What, how do I go about this? Or what steps do you have to take?
To be honest, I didn't. When I came over for the first couple of months, I worked for James Cummings. I was happy just to ride track work. I didn't look at trying to race ride at all. I just wanted a bit of experience. That was all. I didn't even look into it. And, you know, I got that. James was fantastic to me. Like, I came, I'd never ridden gallops for the clock before. I hadn't done any of that. And, you know, he helped me out a lot and he was great to me. And then when I came back and started working for Gay, I actually ended up doing a bit of travelling for Gay the first sort of year I was here, which probably wasn't a bad thing because I got to, you know the tracks a bit more, know the style of racing and actually just work my way into it quite slowly. I did the Brisbane Carnival for Gay. So I spent 3 months up in Brisbane with all her horses. And then I actually took one of her horses to America as well for the Belmont Derby over there. And, you know, I had a great, it was brilliant. It was another thing that, you know, I'd never done before, like travelling with the horses and taking them off there, and Gay put a lot of trust in me. So that was really good. And I spent, you know, a year sort of doing a bit of that and just riding track work before I even started doing any trials or anything. And then, yeah, I just spoke to the stewards and sort of said, what do I need to do to be able to start my apprenticeship over here? And I think I did a couple of trials just so they could have a look. They had a look at obviously all my previous rides back in England and race record, and, you know, obviously get clearances and things from the UK, and that was it, and then got going.
Did you find it so much different here, riding in races, to what you experienced in England? Because we always look at their tempo over there, particularly staying races and so forth, and we think it's so much different to what we do here.
Yeah, it is quite different, but the tracks are very different. You've got to ride a bit different, and also the horses are quite, we are getting a few more European style bred horses over here, but a lot of them are, you know, a lot more sprinter based stallions and things, and so there's a lot more speed in it, I think, here than in the UK. And it is, we've got, you know, big, massive flowing tracks, and, you know, we can race over 7 furlongs, 1400 metres in England and not go around a bend. You know, it's totally different. We're going in a straight line, so it's, or, you know, you can race over 2 miles nearly and go around one bend. It's very different in that kind of way. But it doesn't, I think, like, I spent a long time, you know, watching a lot of races before, and I think actually having that year here, not race riding, but just riding track work and just learning, probably was one of the best things I did.
Now, I'm trying to think of the name of the track. I think where they run the July Cup, there's one there, it's like dips in it, where they disappear almost out of sight.
the July course at Newmarket. Pretty unique, you know, and a lot of them are like, Epsom's one of the most unique, and until you sort of ride around there or even walk around there, you don't quite realise how, you know, special it is and how different it is. And you've got to have the right kind of horse to ride around there. And, like, it takes a lot more sort of thinking about it, I think, than, you know, you've got to really know the tracks in England. Like, some of the best jockeys, they could have ridden there 100 times, but they'll still get there and they'll have to walk the track and keep walking it every time they get there, just because they are very tricky. They're very, very different. You know, some of them are very straightforward, just going in a straight line, and they're deep, but some are very tricky.
How do you find a lot of the sprinters cope with, you see some of those races, like you're saying, 7 furlongs or a mile, basically a straight race. A lot of horses, that must be hellishly tough on them.
Yeah, I think it definitely suits some better than others. Some are, you know, could be really sort of specialised over that, and some would be much better when they can go around that bend. But it's, I think, definitely, you know, it's a horses for courses kind of thing.
Well, you've settled in well in Australia. Things have been going terrific for you, haven't they?
Yeah, it's great. You know, like I said before, I couldn't have ever imagined it would go this well, and just hopefully, you know, the luck continues. And I've had amazing support from, you know, owners and trainers, and my manager's done a great job for me, and it's worked out really well.
I would imagine weight wouldn't really be an issue for you, would it?
No, definitely not. I'm probably have the opposite problem for most jockeys. I'm actually a bit light, if anything. So it's good, you know. I'd rather be that way. I don't envy the poor guys that have to sweat and waste a lot. It's a pretty tough life having to do that, but I'm pretty lucky I get to enjoy myself and eat what I like, so it makes it a lot easier.
Now, Rachel, for a lot of ladies who've tucked into a big breakfast this morning, what sort of, they're feeling a bit guilty, what weight do you walk around at?
I'm probably only 48 kilos on a heavy day.
Goodness me, I've eaten meals that have weighed more than that. 48 kilos. Do you ever walk past the jockey's room and look at blokes like Huey Bowman or Ty England and just smile and eat a chocolate bar in front of them just to torment them? Do you ever do that?
I'm not that mean. No, I would never wish it upon anyone. And when you see them sort of struggling, especially some of the jockeys out in the country, they're big tall lads and it's not fun for them. They work so hard at it, and now I feel bad because I have to eat all day to sort of keep the weight on, otherwise I start dropping down. But I feel bad doing it in front of everyone. I sort of try not to rub it in too much.
You've got to sneak away and be discreet with a sandwich.
That's it, yeah.
Now, your parents came out. I ran into your mum and dad at Coffs Harbour. Your dad was looking forward to seeing you ride, and the meeting got washed out, unfortunately, at the cup meeting there.
Yeah, that was a bit of a shame. But they were here for a month, and all Dad wanted to do, he was very, very old school English, and all he wanted to do the whole time this year was just go racing. So he had that wish, and I think we went to majority of racetracks around New South Wales. We went racing pretty much every day, but it was great. It was really nice to have them here. It was the first time they'd been here. Mum had travelled Australia when she was younger, but hadn't been back for a long time, and Dad had never been. So they had a great time. They met a lot of people. Dad's one of those people that make friends with pretty much anyone. Mm.
He wasn't a shy man, I'll tell you that.
No, definitely not. No, I think he bowled straight up to you, didn't he?
Yeah, he had more front than a dog with a gold tooth, I tell you.
Yeah, they make themselves at home wherever they are, but they had a great time. Hopefully they'll be able to come back again. It was really nice to have them here, and they got to, see me ride a lot and ride a few winners. It took me a while when they first came over. I couldn't ride a winner for the first probably 2 weeks they were here, and I was struggling. I thought, oh no, they're bad luck, I'm going to have to send them away. But the last couple of weeks they were here, I started having a few, so they're allowed back again.
Fantastic. Now you've got three rides at Gosford this afternoon: Chrissy Ann, Single and Free, and Racy. You got a chance there?
Yeah, I hope so. I think, looking at them, they're probably all a place chance, definitely. Racy's the only one I've ridden before. I rode her first up at Hawkesbury. She ran a really nice second that day. She was always going to probably just need the run, and, hopefully second up, she'll be ready to go.
Well, Rachel, it's been great having a chinwag with you this morning. Good luck to Savo as well. And you can go and tell your partner, Blake Spriggs, just say, mate, I've been over the jumps. He won't be able to compete with that, I can tell you.
No, I don't think he'll fancy doing that.
I think he'll chicken out very quickly. Good on you, Rachel. Good luck to Savo.
Thanks, Lizzie. Thank you.
Rachel King joining us there for Chinwag. It's 11 o'clock at Sky Sports Radio.